Genesis chapter 49. Kind of interesting, interesting thing here. I'm going to read this verse. So if you're going to Genesis chapter 49, and then let me see if I can find this other one here. All right, and then Genesis chapter 30. So go to those two places. We'll start here. Genesis chapter 49, and then let's go to Genesis chapter 30. Let's start in 30, Genesis 30. You guys getting ready this morning? I've had crazy sock day on the buses, and I'm all ready to go to church, and then, that's right, hey, Dad got crazy socks. Yeah. Man, he even got his leg up that high, too. That's even more impressive. So I got all ready for church, and then I get the text, and I'm like, oh, I got to think of something for that. And then my kids are like, Dad, you got any crazy socks I could wear? I'm like, oh, stink, it's crazy sock day. So I had to go change my clothes because I couldn't not match, you know. But Genesis chapter 30. This is an interesting passage, and we're going to give this to you this morning. Just a thought more than anything. Genesis chapter 30, let's look at verse number 9. All right, Genesis chapter 30. Verse number 9. Bible says, when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh. And she called his name Gad. Called his name Gad. Now go to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. This is where Jacob is blessing all of his sons. Genesis chapter 49, look at verse number 19. We're going to talk about the same son here. Genesis chapter 49, verse number 19. The Bible says, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this opportunity you give us to come to your house. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, I pray that you would just guide us and direct us and help my mind this morning and help me to fully concentrate on the lesson here and help me to be able to just be a blessing to your people this morning. And Father, I pray that you help all the other Sunday school classes that are going on. I pray that you would just guide them and direct them. And Lord, I thank you for being able to come to the house of God. I thank you for the freedoms that you've given us in our country. Thank you for this place. Thank you for our pastor. Pray that you bless him as he's away. Bless the morning services that are to follow in this building and a couple other buildings that will be going on. I pray, Lord, that you'd be honored and glorified in all said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was reading through my Bible this year and just trying to work through everything. And, you know, in Genesis chapter 30, when you read about the birth of all these children and Jacob, you know, and his interaction with his family, and you all know basically those stories. But there's this, in Genesis chapter 30, we have this story of Leah giving Zilpah, her maid, to Jacob, to wife. And then this, just a couple verses here, it says, and Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son, and Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. And we're going to talk about Gad this morning. I don't know that I've ever heard a lesson taught on Gad, right? Just kind of one of those guys in the Bible. And even the tribe of Gad, when you look at the tribe of Gad, it's not like, you know, you hear about Judah and you hear about Benjamin and you hear about, you know, a lot of these other tribes, but you don't, there's some of the boys that you really never hear about after this. You know, I mean, they're given their inheritance. The inheritance of Gad was part of some of those that took their inheritance on the other side of the Jordan River. And so, I mean, you hear that and you hear some different things about the tribe of Gad, maybe one or two guys that came out of the tribe of Gad. But in and of itself, he's just kind of an obscure mention in the Bible, if you would. Okay, so I'm going to just bring one truth out of Gad, the life of Gad this morning. And the Bible says in chapter 30, verse 11, the Bible says, and Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad, all right? And so that's what basically that his name means a troop, okay? That's what Gad means. His name literally just means a troop. But Leah said, when this child was born, Leah said, a troop cometh. Now, I want you to kind of think about the scenario of when Gad was born, okay? Jacob and his, you know, his family, his entourage, if you would, were nomadic people. So they, to some degree, they traveled from, you know, they kind of followed the herds, okay? So, I mean, I think when they ran out of grazing, they would probably pick up and they would move. It wasn't like Jacob and his family, if you read about them, they didn't dwell in the cities, right? They were shepherds. They were keeper of sheep and cattle. And so they kind of dwell out into the, what we would say, the rural areas, right? Away from town. Now, I mean, there we have instances where they went into the towns and the cities, and we have those stories, particularly of like Simeon and Levi, those two boys when Dinah got defiled. And you know, so we have those instances. But by and large, they dwell on the outside of town. So I think, and when the Bible's talking about this, I think it's real easy, you know, to kind of skip over, at least for me, I'm just going to be honest. I mean, when you start talking names and so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so, it's just kind of like a blur, right, in the Bible, at least for me. And so we see that, but then there's this thing about Gad, and it just kind of caught my attention. But the Bible says, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. And I think in life, I think there's times in life when we get to these spots where Leah is at. Okay, now I'm gonna illustrate this. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. If you can take your Bible, let's go to Ecclesiastes. I was talking to my dad about this the other day, and Brother Mike Holloway preached a message, and it never always kind of stuck with me. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and a lot of guys go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 as a youth message, and rightfully so. I mean, I've used it talking to teenagers. But Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And then it basically gives the reason why we should remember our creator in the days of our youth. Okay, so this is like an older man saying, hey, you need to remember your creator right now in the days of your youth. Why? While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, so basically a progression of age, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders shall cease because they are few, and those that are that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. And I had never put this together, but you know, Dr. Holloway was talking about, you know, this is very much a representation of getting old in life. You know, I mean, it talks about when the keepers of the house shall tremble, strong men shall bow themselves. And I think I would say by and large, you know, this is the adult class. Not, I don't know what you call the other one out there. This is the mature class, I guess. You know, there's things, and I've talked to my dad about it, and I think most of you men in here that are a little older would agree. There's things that you can't do now that you used to be able to do, right? I mean, you used to be able to climb a 20-foot extension ladder and never have a thought about it. And now just the thought of getting up on a 20-foot extension ladder and it's like, I'm going to get a younger guy for that, right? You maybe used to crawl under your house and be able to go work on something, and now that there's just not that motivation to crawl under your house and work on something. Right? And I think, you know, we have this example in Ecclesiastes. It talks about looking out the window and it's darkened. You know, you're not able to see. Okay, truth of the matter is, you can't see as well as you used to. Can't hear as well as you used to. You're not as strong as you used to be. You know, I mean, there's all of these things that I think is like, you know, I've talked to Brother Don about it. He's like, this stinks. In the only way that Brother Don can say it, you know, and we have these times in our life, and I think for older folks, okay, it's not, I think for a lot of folks, it's not the, you know, when you're younger, there's a different set of challenges, right? I mean, it's, you've always, it seems like when you're younger, you've always got more month than money, right? And you're trying just to scrape together enough just to, you know, feed the kids and keep them, you know, it seems like every time you feel like you're getting, you know, okay, we're making it, and we're clawing our way through it, and then you look at your, you know, your son, and his pants are 6 inches too short, and his toes are coming out the end of his shoes, and it's like, there goes anything we just got, you know, I mean, and so there's like a different set of circumstances for every area of our life. Pastors preach these messages about the seasons of life, and I think in every season of life, there's going to be different things that you battle, different things that you're going to face. And the thing is, and I brought some, these are just practice swords, basically. I've got real ones, but didn't bring those. These, you know, okay, so let's say I was in a fight, right? I'm in a fight, a sword battle. And I would feel, and I think most of you would agree with me, all right, you give me one adversary, and I feel like I've got a fighting chance, okay? Now, he may be better at me. He may be more efficient at you. It wouldn't take much to be more efficient wielding a sword than me because I don't do it, okay? You might, but okay, put one up against me. I feel like, all right, I think I can handle this, okay? And then, you're in this fight, and you might even be like, well, this is simple. I've got this. And then we get into these situations where it's not just one. Now you've got maybe, now it's two against one. Okay, well, now the odds, obviously, if we're going to talk odds are not in your favor. But I'm young. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm at the prime of my life, but I can still, you know, I'm 37. I can still handle this. Okay? And then you've got, then another one comes. Now you're facing three adversaries, okay? Now, there again, I'm young, all right? As long as I've got a bunch of stuff going right, I can face this, all right? And what I got from this thing about Gad is Leah said she didn't, okay, so Zil, and I understand it wasn't Leah named him, best I can tell, okay? But, you know, Zilpah was Leah's handmaid, okay? So it was basically, I don't know what you would call that. It's a weird marriage. Let's just put it that way, all right? So Zilpah has this baby, and it's interesting to me that Zilpah, or Leah said, a troop cometh. Now, and you're putting yourself back in that situation, that scenario, okay? They are not, okay, they don't have the United States of America that protects their interest, right? If they protect, and just as a, this is a completely side note, but there may come a day when the United States of America is not there to protect your interest. Okay, that's just a completely side note. But, okay, if who is going to protect the flocks of Jacob? Right? The local village isn't, because they're not, okay, he's not living here. We don't have any interest in what, okay, what, so what if they, somebody, marauders come and they invade the camp. And I think when this, okay, ladies, most of you have probably had children, all right, you're in the woes of childbirth, and all of a sudden you hear, you know, shouts and stuff going on outside the tent, and you hear the hoofbeats of horses coming, and you hear the shouts of battle, and they're calling all of the servants to arms, okay? And at that moment, it's not just the matter of the childbirth, right? At this point, it's the matter of, okay, we're getting attacked by a troop. Not one, not two, not three, a troop. Now, what's your definition of troop? Okay, well, I don't know. I mean, I would think, you know, a 10 wouldn't necessarily, I wouldn't call 10. I don't know, maybe there's a military term for a troop. Okay, I mean, what do you think? 50? I don't know. I mean, if you're going to take on a group the size of Jacob's group, I think it's going to be a few more than just a couple. Okay? So in this moment, in this, yes, this traumatic moment, now there's not just this childbirth that's happening, which should have been a joyous moment. Now there's a troop that's coming. A troop that's coming. And it seems like in my life, and I'm just going to maybe this is somewhat testimony, maybe I don't know what it is. I don't know for whatever reason, all right? You know, I think Job, if you go back to the life of Job, if Job, all those messengers start coming, I think if one messenger came, Job would have been kind of heartbroken. Man, I lost all my sheep. Bummer. All right? And I think at that moment, he's like, stink, this isn't. But you think about the life of Job, it wasn't just one messenger. Right? You know, it was the Sabians, and it was, I mean, you talk about one after another after another. And it seems like so often in life, now, none of us are Job. I mean, I'm looking across. I don't know you folks, but I'm, you know, I mean, I saw your truck out there, and it's nice, so that's why I had to get to know you. I mean, I like Rams. Cummins, actually. But, okay, I don't know. I'm looking at everybody, and I see that everyone in here probably has problems. But we don't have the problems that Job had, okay? But it just seems like so many times in our life, it's not just one problem. You know, and I feel like, all right, if it was one thing at a time, right, line them up and I'll just take them one at a time. But so many times in our life, it's not one at a time. It's finances. It's marriage. It's kids. Right? You know, you're having, you know, work. You're having all these things, and it's not just this one, all right, line them up one at a time. Let me get my bills paid, and then we'll deal with marriage. Okay, I'm sorry, but that's not the way life works. You're dealing with multiple things at a time. And I think this part in Leah was like, okay, we've got this childbirth going on, and now we have a troop that's coming. Okay? A troop that's coming. What are we going to do here? Now, do we see that? Did it affect? Okay, there was one statement there that said a troop cometh. So obviously they took care of whatever issues there was going on here. Okay? You know, and I found in the Bible that the Bible doesn't, Super Chat, it's not in there, okay? But I think that there's some significant things about stories in the Bible, okay? We don't see every day of Jacob's life. I promise you that there was days that was not good days for Jacob too, okay? And yes, it should have been an enjoyable moment with this life of, with the birth of this son, Gad, but Leah's like, there's a troop that cometh, okay? In Genesis chapter 49, we see the reference when Jacob blesses all of these children. We see in Genesis chapter 49 in verse number 19, Gad gets one verse. You know, Reuben gets a couple. Asher, I think, got one. Benjamin gets a couple. Judah gets several. And Gad gets one. But you know the blessing that Jacob gave to his son, all right? Look at this. Genesis chapter 49, verse number 19. Gad, what's his name mean? A troop. What is the blessing that, okay, I can imagine Gad sitting here. He's listened to his father. He's listened to, I don't know which number he is in the thing here, but he's number 9 or 10. 9 or 10, all right, in the list. So he's listened to all what has happened to his brothers. He's like, okay, this could be. He's already listened to Reuben and Simeon and Judah. This could be good or this could be bad. Well, how have I lived my life? You know, Dad's basically given us, you know, what's going to happen to us in our future. And Jacob said, Gad. So he sits up straight and tall. And the first thing that Jacob says, he says, look at it there, verse number 19, a troop shall overcome him. Now, not the thing that I think Gad wanted to hear at the moment, right? I mean, he knows what happened when he was born. He knows what the situation there. And it's interesting that Jacob took that opportunity and said, this is what your name means, and a troop's going to overcome you. But then he gives him this blessing. But he shall overcome when? At the last. And you know, I think in our lives, we many times get into these spots, it doesn't seem like there's a way out, okay? And I referenced the older folks in here, and I know not everyone is older. Some of you are my age or slightly older. But, you know, we reference these things, and it's sometimes it's, yeah, Brother Chad, I all those things we just talked about. I can't do what I used to do. I can't see. I can't hear. You know, I've got all these problems in life, all right? And it's not the same problems you may have had when you were my age or younger, okay? But it's still problems nonetheless. And we look at all these things, and sometimes it's like just a little overwhelmed. Would anybody say in your life you have been a little overwhelmed? I'll put both hands up. There's just times in my life it seems like I can't get this defeated. It's just I can't. It's too much for me at the moment, okay? And I think all of us get to these spots in our life where it's, Brother Chad, it's just, you know, I can't do what I used to do, or it's all of these burdens that you're carrying, you know, your kids, and for some of you, your grandkids, and all of this stuff, and it just seems like it's all come at one time. I think that's kind of where Gad is right here. A troop's coming. Okay? If I could deal with it one at a time, no big deal. But why does it always have to happen? You know, what do they say? When it rains, it... I don't know why it does that. Okay? But it seems like it does do that. All right? All right, Brother Chad, you've defined that. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. But, you know, that's a promise, and it's hard to... It's one of those promises in the Bible, it's hard to grasp, I guess. It's like, yeah, but I've still got the troop right here. I've still got the problems that are right in front of me, and I don't see a way out. Okay? I think that's all of us to some degree at some point in our life. If you're not there, you have been there. And if you're not there, you're probably going to be there. Okay? I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's coming. It's coming. All right? So, Brother Chad, what do we do with this stuff? Okay, I'm going to just give you, honestly, I'm just going to give you some verses. Let me ask you this, okay? We've got a troop here. We've got something that it's hard for us to overcome because there's too much. What if I said, okay, now I'm not by myself, right? I'm still fighting a troop. But do you realize the power of having one more person with you? Okay? If I had my dad come up here, and I, you know, I'm fighting a troop. Now remember, a troop's not, you know, five, right? Even if a troop was five, and I'm by myself, you know, the most vulnerable part of me is my back. All right, I can't fight five things that are surrounding me all at the same time. I can't do it. Okay, but you realize what happens when you've got two? Now you've got one that's got your, you know, what do we say? I got your back. You know the power of one more? All right, I love one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and I love telling it to kids. I mean, I have an overactive imagination, if you can't already tell, all right? But when I read the Bible, I want to see, you know, I love the story of those David's three mighty men. I know Eleazar was one of them, and Shamar and some of the others. You know, David said, I want a drink of water. Right? And the three mighty men, the Bible says they broke through the host of the Philistines and they got them that water. Okay, you know, I'm there again. One guy couldn't have done that. One guy couldn't have broke through the host of the Philistines, stopped fighting, drew some water, and then got out of there. It would have taken at least two, and the Bible says they had three. And I think that they were, I mean, flat knocking people out right here, okay? And, you know, one of them's drawing the water, and he's splashing water everywhere, and they're trying to get in a canteen or whatever, the flask that they're carrying, and the two of them are fighting everybody off, and, you know, then he draws. Okay, there is some teamwork going on here to get this accomplished, all right? And then not only do they have to get, you know, okay, it's one thing to break out of someplace, but you know, they broke in, now they're breaking out. There's a lot of going on here. And that's what I think of here. You know, just the power of one person that's standing with you is a big deal. I'm just going to give you this is kind of a side note. But ladies, all right, and I know, and husbands, okay, in these, okay, what difference, how do you think Job would have felt? Now, I think we knock Job's wife an awful lot. Okay, think about what Job's wife went through, everything that Job just went through. Okay, and God did not create ladies the equal, I'm sorry if this hair lips you, but God did not create ladies equal to men. Especially in the fact that, okay, ladies, that being said, you're better at many things than what we are. Okay, trust me, I know. But handling stress, God did not create ladies to handle that in the same way he created men to. That's the fact of it, okay? And we dog Job's wife. But, you know, when it all comes down to it, wouldn't it have been awesome if Job's wife just grabbed his hand and said, baby, we're going to get through this? You know, a lot of you have gone through health stuff. A lot of you go through different things. Isn't it nice that you have a wife or a husband that just grabs your hand and says, hey, I know you're fighting a troop, but I'm right here with you. Versus you feel like you're on an island all by your little lonesome, all right, fighting the troop. You know, I'm thankful for my wife that, okay, not everything in my life has gone perfect. Not everything in her life has gone perfect, okay? But I'm so thankful for a spouse that just says, hey, I'm here with you. You realize that, okay, your finances may not be right, right? Things may be going wrong at work. But when you come home and you're, you know, and this is, maybe I'm not saying this, I'm testifying maybe, all right? But when I go home and work didn't go right, right? I mean, Brother Bob, I smashed my thumb 3 times, you know, that day, nailing something. And, you know, the concrete cured out too quick. It was a bad day. And I go home and my wife knows I'm having a bad day. She comes up and she squeezes me. And, you know, I don't give a rip at that moment. Just being honest with you, we're all adults here, okay? I don't give a rip about smashing my thumb. All that frustration just kind of went away. Okay? It just went away. Now, do I have to still carry that load? Yes, I still have a battle to fight. But you know what's amazing is when I know that, hey, she's got my back. Okay? And listen, guys, it's not the, you know, all right, you know, I smash my thumb and the concrete cures out too quick. That's one thing. When the kids are hellions, and she's had to deal with them for, okay, I leave after 8 hours or 12. I leave after 12 hours, okay? She's 24/7 in the trenches, all right? You know what she needs sometimes? Okay, she's at home, everything, you know, flowers all over her face. There's, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's, you know, she's trying to can and the canner blew up and there's corn on the ceiling and tears are running down her face and she's trying to stir supper up, you know. A troop came, all right? You know what she needs?
Hey, when's supper going to be ready?
That is not. It's not what she needs at the moment. All right? Man, why is the house such a mess? That is not the thing to say. How do you know, Brother Chad? Experience. You know what? You know what we sometimes need? Guys, you know what your wife needs sometimes? Hey, I love you. How's your day? And you know, at that moment, she just buries her head in your shoulder and just bawls. Fair enough. Enough said. Kids, go to your rooms. I'll deal with you in a minute. Okay, listen. You know what happens? Sometimes we just get a little overwhelmed. Why? Because you feel like you're fighting on every front. Okay? Like I said, if you just had one thing to deal with, but it seems like life just throws you, not one, not two, it throws you a troop. Okay? And listen, husbands, wives, be that backup for your spouse. Be that backup for your spouse. Be the one that just says, hey, I know you're, you know, I mean, I hate to admit it, I think I'm getting old. You know, we went on a date the other day, and you know why we went on the date? Because we had a doctor's appointment. And all you know, that's the date you go on anymore, right? I mean, it's a doctor's appointment. We're going to go, where are you guys going, Mom and Dad? Oh, we're going to go out to eat. Where else are you going? Oh, we had some doctor's appointments. That's a sign that you're getting old, okay? Sorry. But you know what your spouse needs? You need some backup. You know what else you need? Listen, sometimes you and your spouse are in this fight together. And it's not just, yeah, your spouse is backing you up. But you know what else we need? You know, there's something called the family of God. And when you come to church, all right, having some backup, man, that sure makes a big difference. Having some brothers and sisters that just come and say, hey, been praying for you. And you know what? Sometimes they don't, you know, I'm not the nosy person, right? I try to deal with, if I've got the troop, I just try to deal with it. But sometimes it's just nice someone saying, hey, praying for you. I hope you have a good week this week, right? Amen. And just being a backup for each other. Okay, now I'm going to read you some verses. We need to quit here in about 3 minutes. So I'm just going to read you some of these verses. I want to be encouragement to you. Bible says, John chapter 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, Brother Nichols, I thought that his example on Wednesday about watching a football game that was recorded, and he didn't worry about the fumble or the interception that was made in the football game because he already knew the result of the football game. You know, and don't get me wrong, you know, that's easy to, it's a great analogy, but sometimes it's like, yeah, but Brother Chad, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Okay? I don't know how this health situation is going to turn out. I don't know how this problem is going to turn out. I just don't know, Brother Chad. You know, I know that you don't know, but I think God's got this under control. I think God knows. Now, we may not like what it is, but I think still that God knows how it's all going to turn out. Okay? And, okay, you know, we talked about the spouse. We talked about some of the church family. But you know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And whether or not you have, you know, your spouse, whether or not you have your church family, whether or not you have whatever, there's still someone living within you that can help you through that moment, that can help you through that time. All right? Let's see here. I write unto you, I'll skip that one. Verse John chapter 4, verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I mean, I've got a whole list. I got 30-some verses here. It talks about overcoming. He that overcometh. All right? And listen, folks. It's not the fact that life is without problems, you know? And I try to be transparent, try to be pretty honest. I'm not going to sit here and tell teenagers, listen, life's going to be great and a bed of roses. Is life serving Christ great? Yes. But it still has heartaches, okay? It rains on the just and the unjust. The grasshoppers, right, consume the fields of the just and the unjust. And it's like, but I'm saved, but I'm a Christian. Yes, I know. But this is life. All right? But you know, I love what Jacob told Gad. He said, Gad, you're going to be overcome by a troop. But then he gave him this promise. But you shall overcome at the last. You know, I thought about, you know, we just had the funeral for Mrs. Dively yesterday. You know, and in some place, and some people said, well, if you could word it that she was overcome by her sickness. It got her. But
But the same promise that Jacob gave Gad is the same promise that every one of us have. But you shall overcome at the last. You know, she's up in heaven. She doesn't have, she can breathe okay. She's sitting up straight and tall. You know, the last few times, you know, I know Miss Tanya sat behind him, you know. She bent halfway over, right? You know, her forehead would be probably, I mean, we sat in the same row sometimes. Her forehead, that far from her knees. She's still sitting there in church, on oxygen. You know, okay, I'm sorry, but getting old isn't for sissies. And you guys, I mean, I'm not, everyone has told me that, okay? And sometimes I just feel like I'm overcome. I just want to, hey, listen, you shall overcome at the last, all right? But that doesn't mean that you just quit fighting. Don't just quit fighting, all right? If God's still giving you breath this morning and you're still sitting here this morning, God still has a reason for you to be here. Amen. You know what some of our kids need? You know, they need to see the Mrs. Dively's still walk in. They need to see the Mrs. Mowry's that just broke her pelvis still walking in. They need to see the Dennis Scales that got braces on his legs that for Pete's sake, he was in my fourth grade Sunday school class as a helper with him and Brother Charles. And I still see him walking in, you know, it's 15 degrees outside and he's still wearing his polo shirt and his Dockers. I don't know. The guy never wears a jacket. I don't think I've ever seen him wear a jacket in his life. And he's still, you know what? He didn't give up when he was diagnosed however old he was. Oh, I've just got polio, so I'll just never be. If anything, he showed the rest of us that you don't have an excuse. He don't, I mean, if he goes to work every day, right? I do not have an excuse. Oh, my nose is stuffy. I'm going to call into work today. Right? You know what? Yeah, he had a troop. And yeah, we all have troops. We all have these moments in life that it's like, Brother Chad, I'm just a little overwhelmed. I get it. I want to give you this promise that Jacob gave Gad. You're going to get overwhelmed. You're going to get overcome. But, first of all, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you shall overcome at the last. All right? I think of the life of Samson. Samson screwed up royally. Okay? But by the grace of God, I'd be the same. Right? We're all flesh. Samson just... He's a good testimony of what not to do, okay? You know, what did the Bible say? You know, he got overcome by some stuff. What was the last thing that he did in his life? He killed more Philistines in that one moment than he did in any other time in his life. What did he do? He overcome at the last. You know what I heard yesterday when Brother Reiser gave the invitation, Mrs. Dively was... You know, the last thing Mrs. Dively basically did here on earth was she saw some people saved yesterday morning. That's a pretty cool thing. At the last. You shall overcome at the last. So I just want to encourage you, hey, don't quit fighting. Just keep saying, Brother Chad, there's so many of them. I got it. I've been there. Not maybe the same things you are, but I understand. But don't quit swinging, all right? And spouses, man, get behind each other and just back them up, right? Back them up. And let's just be an encouragement to each other. I love this story of Gad. A troop cometh, problems, not one, multitudes, but he shall overcome at the last. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity you gave us to come to your house. Lord, I thank you for just little things in the Bible. I never read it lots of times and never thought about it. But Lord, I just know in my life there's been times that there's just these troops. It's the money, it's the business, the bills, it's the kids, it's the ministry. All these different things, Lord, it sometimes just seems like it's a little overwhelming. We feel like we're going to get overcome. But Lord, thank you for the promise that if we just keep going, Lord, and with your help and the help of just people that help us, Lord, we can overcome at the last. Lord, I thank you for that promise. Thank you for that neat story in the Bible. Lord, help this morning service. Pray that you'd help the junior churches, primary churches, next level church. And Lord, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified in all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen.